Hello, everyone. This is Will.
And this is Alex.
And welcome back to another episode of They Mostly Come Out at Night.
Ooh. Mostly.
Mostly.
You notice?
Yeah.
We sound a little different.
We sound a little better.
You know why?
Oh, my God.
Because we're fucking dumb.
We can't tell the story until however, the live stream.
However, if you want to hear the rest of the story,
yes,
you will have to tune in to the Mostly Come Out at Night live stream podcast.
Yes, you will.
On March 31st, Sunday morning, you'll have to tune in.
But don't worry, we have an actual audio setup now.
As you may have noticed.
We good.
We Gucci.
Now we have two microphones.
That fucking...
That sound great.
Yes, they work as they were intended to work.
What a concept.
What an absolute wild concept.
Wow.
Who would have thought? Can you imagine expecting things to work?
I feel like a fucking idiot, dude.
We are idiots.
So, like we were supposed to do on Thursday's episode, but we didn't record a fucking thing.
Because we're stupid.
Because we're dumb and had to play around with fucking audio stuff all night.
All goddamn night.
Because, listen, this is our first venture, okay? It's not like I've recorded anything before.
No, never, Will.
Like, I don't usually record things.
No, Will. No.
So, I don't know this shit.
Well, we learned.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a learning process.
We fucking learned, and now we're woke.
Yes.
We're fucking woke. I am
so glad.
I came just in time. Just in time.
Yep, so now we can actually officially do our review of The Witch That Came from the Sea.
As we were supposed to.
So without further ado, here it is.
Here it is. Now, this is going to be, I guess for me at least, a pretty like non-joking review summation of this movie.
There's some jokes we could make.
But I probably won't. I will say this. I'm just going to tell you right now. Go watch this movie.
Please. This is another movie, like, it's really good. So go watch it.
Yeah. The Witch Who Came from the Sea. It's on Amazon Prime. I think there's a copy on YouTube. I'm not sure. Just go watch it.
This movie is insanity, but it's great.
This is actual good shit. If you want to see, like, actual horror, as in horrifying shit.
Yes.
And be disturbed, as, you know, horror intended... God forbid. Watch this movie. Just be aware that, you know, it is pretty fucking... It's not really for the squeamish, I'd say.
No, not at all. I don't think it is at all.
Yeah, it's not for the squeamish or the faint of heart, but I think you should all watch it because that's why I'm saying this right now before we get into our review.
Yeah.
You should watch this.
Now, yeah, this, I'm just thinking about how horribly Thursday night went. But I really loved the movie, so, like, I'm really happy that we get to revisit it and, like, kind of, like, think about it after, like, thinking about it.
After thinking about it for a couple days.
A couple days. Like, I actually, like, thought about it more.
Yeah.
When we had the break. So, like, I was able to kind of more collect my, what are going to be my final thoughts on this film.
And for me, this is my second time watching it, so it's just, for me, it just confirms, like, all my previous thoughts about this movie.
Now, I just also want to apologize. My voice probably sounds kind of hoarse. I think I'm getting sick, and I will be coughing throughout the episode, so just bear with me.
Disgusting.
Not very much, but I will try and I'll keep it at a minimum. But just know I'm a little under the weather, so bear with me, guys. All right. So, Witch Who Came from the Sea, 1976. Let's get into it.
All right.
So... We get a scene, beginning scene, there's three people on a beach.
And it's one shot, and it's just kind of, see the waves crashing on the beach, and they're just, like, slowly coming closer and closer while the credits roll.
Right. And so, like, we get what we think are three people, like, walking down the beach, and, like, it slowly becomes more and more clear that it's a woman and two kids.
Yeah.
And the kids are running around on the beach and, like, you know, trying to, like, jump in the water. And, like, the woman's just walking and kind of like, you know, kind of spacing out almost.
Yeah.
And so they're walking. And so they're, the next scene is they're just sitting at the beach.
The one of the kids, the kids are like kind of playing around, and they start talking about like the ocean and stuff and asking her about grandpa.
Yeah, their grandpa.
And like, was, you said like, and she starts saying, oh yeah, grandpa was a sailor.
But he was lost at sea.
But he was lost at sea. And they start talking about this a little more, and it's almost like you can already tell something's like,
something's off. Like, apparently, like, grandpa didn't just get lost at sea. You can tell something's like kind of a flip.
Something's off, and like the way the main character like explains things is very like kind of like disconnected.
Yes.
And almost just very like metaphorical. She's not talking in like in real terms, essentially.
Right. So they talk about that, and the one of the kids starts burying the other kid in the sand, and she and the woman looks over, and there's these guys
like working out on the beach.
There's like a beach gym.
Yeah, and it's like these like bodybuilders.
And they're all working
guys.
Out. One guy's on like the rings, and he's like holding himself up. Another guy's doing like these pull-ups, and like swinging himself on a bar. And then one guy's lifting weights.
Yeah, and she just keeps like kind of looking at them and kind of admiring them.
And then
it slowly becomes.
It becomes more and more apparent. She's like kind of oogling them.
She's oogling them, and then like,
because it starts showing their crotches.
Like she's looking, like she's very like objectifying them.
Yes.
And then the music starts getting kind of like more weird, and she starts kind of like rubbing her head. And you see, like, what the guy on the rings is, like, kind of raising himself up, and then he falls over.
Yep. And then one of the guys is, like, lifting weights, and you see, like, he, like, is, like, struggling really hard, and then, like, it's kind of cartoony, but, like, blood, like, comes out of his
eye.
Yeah,
like
his eyes burst out of his skull. And then the third guy.
One of them is, like, he's, like, hanging.
He's hanging from, like, the loops that he was, like, holding himself
and it's
up
like
on.
They, and it's, like, they, like. They choked him, yeah. And he's, like, hanging there with, like, blood coming out of his mouth and, like, his tongue out. And one of the guys who, like, fell off is, like, he, like,
broke
his, like,
neck.
And he's, like, bleeding out on the sand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This scene is so unexpected. It's crazy. I was just like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, and this is the first 2-3 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then they start going home.
So they talk a little bit more about grandpa, but it's not like anything important. It's
they
just
walk past a tattoo parlor.
Yeah. And
they see all these like the tattoo parlor has all these like kind of fantastical creatures on there.
Right. And they're like, we want a tattoo. And like the mom, well, not the mom.
She's their aunt.
The woman is like, you don't get tattoos. Like your body's a temple. Like you don't.
Tattoos are like for basically saying tattoos are trashy.
You don't defile your body with tattoos is what she's saying.
Tattoos are trashy.
And then the shop owner comes out and he's like this weird ass guy with like a dragon tattoo on his face.
A dragon face tattoo.
The man with the dragon tattoo. So he's like looking at them all weird, and he just smiles and like goes back into the shop, and they walk home, and then we meet dear old mother. Oh boy.
Oh, this poor woman.
Man, this poor woman.
She's like kind of sewing some stuff, because you find out later that that's what she does. She makes these like quilts and stuff.
I will say this is not a spoiler. Everyone in this movie is just slightly off.
It's not just this. Everyone in this movie is either like broken or fucked up.
Yeah.
Like everyone in this movie is a misfit.
Exactly.
And it only kind of makes the.
There's no like societally normal people in this.
Yeah,
film.
It's just a movie about like broken people, and it just makes everything, like it makes the movie work even better.
Yes.
Because like this woman, you know, like she doesn't have time to raise the kids. She's always working.
Right. So she does repairs on like people's clothes.
Yeah. So she lets the aunt take care of the kids.
Yep. So the kids are watching TV with their aunt, and they're watching football. And the mom's like just working like her ass off,
and she's like, just like saying like, you know, thank you so much for taking care of the kids. Like
they love you more than they love me. And she's like, no, they don't. Like, you know, like you're just like busy and you can't take care of them all the time.
And then like she mentions, they start talking about grandpa a little, and the mom says like, She says something like, Grandpa was a drunk.
Well, she said, your grandpa was a drunk, and he wasn't lost at sea.
We buried him.
We buried him. He's dead.
And she just gets, like, the woman, the main character, just gets, like, kind of, like, just, like...
upset?
Yeah.
Like,
she's just, like, saying, like, you know, he wasn't a drunk. Grandpa was, like, a great man.
He was a great man. He was a great seaman. And then he got lost at sea.
He got lost at sea.
And, like, they start fighting about it a little bit.
And then she just kind of, like, lets it go. Like, whatever.
And they start watching TV again, and it's this, like...
There's football on TV.
Yeah, there's football at first, and, like, the kids are talking about their heroes. Like, two of
the football players. The big
football stars.
And
I think it's for the Rams. I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, it's, whoever the fuck...
It might be a made up team.
It's an actual team. It's some team in California. But yeah, they start talking about it, and the woman makes kind of like an offhand comment about like how beautiful they are.
Right. Well, and the kids are talking about how each of them has like a favorite person in the football team,
and like how they're like, oh, like I look up to them and all this stuff.
Yeah, right.
And
then like it cuts from
there's a commercial
football to a commercial about a shaving ad.
Yeah.
And, like, it's a really weird shaving ad where, like, the girl's like, not unless you have a clean shave. And, like...
Basically, like, the guy, like, shaves and, like, she touches his face and it's, like, so smooth that, like, she doesn't want to go out.
Well, even in the commercial, he's like, don't bruise your women.
Yeah.
Like...
Don't bruise her. Like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of telling in the, like, in the third act.
Yeah, and again, she just, same thing. She's just, like, talking about how beautiful the guy in the commercial is.
But then, all of a sudden, the commercial starts talking to her. Remember? Because addresses her. He's like, don't you want a close shave, Molly?
Don't you want a close shave?
Starts talking. Like, this is all in her head, of course.
Yeah.
Or we're led to believe it's all in her head.
Yeah. And then she gets, you know, that just kind of ends, and, like, no one else sees it, obviously.
Right, and she gets kind of freaked out when they...
But the kids are, like, kind of... They're just laying on the couch. And she goes to get a drink. She has to go to work.
Yes. And she's, like, takes, like... It's not just, like, one drink, though.
Nope.
She keeps pouring them and just chugging. Like, it's made to look like alcohol. So she's just chugging this alcohol, and the mom's like, why are you drinking? You gotta go to work. Like, stop drinking.
And she's just like, yeah, like, really worried about how much she's drinking and all this stuff. And
the girl's like,
she's like, And she's like, you know what happened to Grandpa?
Yeah.
And she's like, don't talk about Grandpa.
Like, I'll be fine. Like, I'll be fine at work. I'm gonna go into work still. But then she starts
drinking.
She starts hallucinating.
We get...
Oh my god, this scene is
this
so
scene
fucking
is like,
weird.
This scene is when the movie, like... The first time I watched this, I was so, like, my fucking mouth was just, like, on the floor.
This scene made me legitimately uneasy.
It's so fucking...
The whole thing. It's
we
so...
We watched a movie not that long ago called Devil Times 5.
Oh, God.
Okay? There was a scene in that movie where it was a murder scene filmed in sepia tone and slow motion. And I shit on that scene. We both did, as being like one of the dumbest fucking scenes ever.
It's still one of the dumbest scenes I've ever seen in a movie.
This is like how you do that shit better.
Yeah.
Because in this scene, it's like, it's not like slow motion, but the audio is like warped.
It's like distorted. Yeah. They kind of like amplify it a little bit, and then like kind of, I don't know how they distort it, but.
It's really uneasy.
But
I don't know. It's one of those things where like. Everything about the scene is just, like, designed to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, she's sleeping with these, like, football players.
So they're sitting at the bed, and she's, like, kneeling down in front of both of them.
Yeah.
Kind of, like, looking like she just did, you know, something.
And, like, talking about how beautiful they are.
They're both in their underwear, and she's talking about how beautiful they are.
And they're both, like they're all kind of, like, back and forth, like, basically objectifying each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they're calling her beautiful, she's saying they're beautiful, and, like, how everyone looks up to them, and how, you know, why they're so beautiful and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And she tells one of them to lay down.
She starts tying them up.
Well, and she's asking them what knots they can't get out of.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, like,
so
I can get out of this. Like,
sailor's knots.
She's like, oh, sailor's knots. I can't untie this.
Yeah.
So she ties one of them up to, like, the post of the bed. And then ties his legs down. No, not ties his legs down. Mm. 'Cause She ties one of his legs down.
Yeah. And then also, she's mentioning, considering like certain things that she says during the movie, that during the scene, they're also smoking marijuana.
Yeah. So she gets on top of him and is like, see if you can get out of this with only one foot.
Yeah.
And like, he starts like caressing her with his foot and stuff like that.
So one of them, like, so she ties up one of them and he like kind of falls asleep. But only like
half. Like, yeah. So she ties up his hand and his leg.
Yeah. So one of them like falls asleep and the other one is still talking and she's just like kind of talking with him more and more and he starts rubbing her with his leg.
And then she ties like their legs, their free legs together. Mm-hmm. And then she ties their free hands together.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as she's like talking to the other guy, she's like, she starts talking about like a close shave.
Mm-hmm.
Like how like, oh, do you want a close shave?
So first, like there's that part where she fucking, after he like rubs her leg, she like grabs his foot. Remember?
Yeah.
Like really aggressively.
Oh yeah. And almost like breaks it.
And he's like, just kind of like, what the fuck? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, and then she ties him together.
And then she sticks like a cloth in his mouth.
Yeah, so he can't talk anymore.
And then she goes to the bathroom.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And gets the
razor blade.
The razor, yeah.
And she's like, talk about a close shave, and like starts going like moving the razor down like the unconscious one's body.
Yeah.
While the other one's just like looking in horror.
Like trying to like scream, like muffled screams.
And then like it shows her going, like, it doesn't show it, like,
but you
it's
know
off,
what's happening.
It's off screen, but she goes down to where his penis would be and starts like just moving her hand back and forth, and you see blood just spewing
as he's like screaming,
yeah,
like crazy. Yeah,
yeah, it's a straight castration scene.
Yeah. And then it ends and we're back to her
drinking
before going to work.
Yeah.
And it's fucking
Crazy. It's insane. It's really insane.
But you, at first, you don't know, like, is it, like, what the fuck was that? Is it real? Is that, like, is that hallucination? What's going on?
Right.
And so she goes to work. And it's like this dingy dive bar, kind of on the beach. And we see, like, the, you know, the bar and everything. And then she shows up and the guy's like, what the hell, like.
Like, you know, he's like, I would fire you if you weren't so quick about things.
He's like, it's 10 o'clock. You're supposed to be here at 8. Like, what's going on?
Like, why are you 3 hours late? And she's like, oh, like, you know, at least I'm here.
And she's like, I'm not late.
Because she kind of avoids the question. She's yeah. like, at least I'm here. I'm not yeah. late, though.
Yeah, I'm not late. He's like, yeah, you are.
It's 10 o'clock.
And he, like, flat out says, like, look, the only reason I keep you around is because you sleep with me.
Yeah, like, pretty much.
Yeah. And we get introduced to, like,
Billy. Oh. His name is Billy Bat.
Yeah.
He's the actor from the Shape.
No.
Oh no, sorry. No, No. He's a, like a producer or something. I can't remember.
Oh, the guy at the bar?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So we get introduced to all these people. There's like there's a bartender who she's sleeping with. There's this like older woman there who's like always like hopped up on pills and always has like some like crazy crazy thing to say. And then there's the producer guy at the bar. And they're all talking, and, you know, he's talking about he's having a party, and he wants, like, you know, the bartender to come over.
Right.
And he's just like, yeah, I'm having a virgin party.
Yeah.
And after he says that, like, the main character says, like, some, I don't remember what the exact thing she says, but she says something that's, like, really, like, kind of, like, off.
Yeah.
About being a virgin.
And so she wakes up, but the party isn't yet.
Not yet, not yet, yeah.
So so they do the whole bar scene. We get introduced to some more bartenders that kind of come into play at the end. Just the other older, mm-hmm. older woman bartender. And then the next morning she wakes up next to the bar owner.
Yeah.
And, she wakes up and he's watching TV.
And, the news is talking about how, last night around 9 PM, these two football players were found murdered.
Huh. Imagine that.
Around the same time that she should have been at work.
And they mentioned that it's a gruesome murder. They won't, like, they yeah. won't give any more details, but it's, like, a pretty gruesome, like, they don't want to give any details because they don't know much about it, but it's pretty, like, awful what happened yeah. to them.
So I just want to say the bartender's name is Long John.
Yeah.
And the main character's name is Molly. So, yeah, and then she wakes up, and she's like, what's going on? And Long John says, they found two football players murdered. Sounds like some sort of weird sex thing. And she just, like, freaks out.
She's like, no, no, they can't be dead. She's
like, they can't be dead. Like, they're my, like...
They're my, like, nephew's heroes.
They're their heroes. Like, they're not, what are they going to do?
Well, they're going to be so upset.
Yeah. And then she goes, and she, like, freaks out, goes to a phone to try to, like, call the mom and, like, tell them all this. And she just, like, can't, she's, like, freaking out. She just can't
process handle it. Yeah, exactly. Probably because she just had a horrible hallucination about killing both of them.
Well. Well.
Yeah.
Let's just say that the hallucination is a little closer to home. But, yeah, she's freaking out. And we see the whole time during the movie that she's very, like, childish.
Yes. She kind of, like, throws temper tantrums when she doesn't get her way.
Yeah.
She talks very, like, simplistically.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, kind of, like, just disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she'll, like, start a sentence and then, like, go on to a different subject and then go on to a different subject and mm-hmm. then, like, loses track very easily. Gets sidetracked.
So we get the first...
The first, like, abuse scene.
It starts off very normal.
Yeah, I mean, it starts off fine. Like,
it's just, like, her talking about how her grandpa used to build, like, model ships.
Yeah, and it's showing him building it. And
it's showing her, like, next to him building this ship, and it's just all very, pretty normal. And then he, like, kind of, like, grabs her and, like, just, like, gets, like, really close to her face.
Right.
Like, he, like, puts his, like, face right up to her cheek.
Starts breathing all heavy and, like,
and it's just,
that he's, like, it looks like he's trying to control himself.
It's
so creepy. I hate it.
It's so well done.
He's like...
And, yeah, and again, like, everything, like, the music
his,
just, like...
voice starts, like, his breath starts vibrating, and, like, it just, it's so creepy.
It's not as creepy as the next flashback, though.
Oh, God, no.
The closet?
Yeah, no.
Woo! So, there's another flashback where it's her coming home.
So, this is, so, it shows the abuse, and then, like, it shows, like, she's still trying to, like, contact the kids to mm-hmm. tell them what happened, and she, like, goes into the closet. Or I can't remember. Does she, like, try and go in the closet and then, like, then the flashback?
No, I don't remember how it starts.
I can't remember how it's triggered.
Yeah.
But, like, something triggers her into another flashback.
Yeah.
Like, right away.
I think it's just, like, she says something about Grandpa again, about how, like, you know, like, he was a good person or something. And then we get this other flashback of, it's, like, her coming home from school or something.
Her's a little girl coming home from school, and she takes off her jacket and opens the closet.
So she opens the closet, but then she, like, drops something right away.
Yeah, and she, like...
So she goes down and pick it up, then she looks up.
And her dad is completely naked,
the
crouching in the closet, just staring at her.
The way this is done is so, like...
It is unsettling. Oh, my God, it's so creepy.
It's so creepy, because, like, she just looks up, and you see, like, the way he's sitting is so fucking creepy, because he's, like,
squatting.
He's, like, squatting and, like, kind of, like, just squeezed together. So we just see, like, his legs and his hands. Then she looks up and he's just completely naked, like, kind of, like, grinning at her.
Yeah.
And she says, starts saying, Papa.
Yeah. And
but every time, but every time she says it, it's like.
It gets, like, it gets more, like, distorted and, like, the bass gets heavier and heavier on it until it just sounds like this clicking sound.
It's just, like, it's just so fucking creepy.
It's fucking unsettling is not even a good word to describe it.
It's so well done.
So then, so she's, like, kind of freaking out still. And then the bar owner, Long John, says, like, hey, we got to go to this party. Like, you know, he invited me. I can't, like, refuse my customers.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to go to this party.
And she doesn't want to go. She doesn't want to go. She just, like, she'd rather just not go. But they go.
But she goes anyway. So they go, and it's, like, this really ritzy, like, kind of house. He has a pool inside.
He has a pool, and there's all these, like
a hot tub, and all these naked women and all this stuff.
It's, yeah, there's all these, like, Hollywood people there. And she's just kind of looking at this painting.
Of Venus.
Yeah.
The goddess Venus.
Yeah.
And he comes over. He's like, ah, Venus. You know, the goddess of the sea.
Mm-hmm.
It's told that, like, you know, he tells the story of how, like, Zeus came, like, you know, came down and was tricked. And, like, his sperm fell in the ocean.
And gave birth.
And gave birth to Venus.
Yeah.
And, like.
And she's just like, no, you're lying. That's not true.
Yeah, that's not true at all.
And they start talking, and he kind of... and he starts kind of flirting with her.
He puts the moves on her.
But then she says something that's very telling. She tells him that, like, you're too soft for me.
Yes. And he's like, well, do you want to find out?
And he's like, yeah, like basically saying, like, don't try me.
And then the next scene is the cops. So before we get that, mm-hmm. that payoff.
That scene.
So the there's these two detectives that are investigating the murder of these two football stars.
I love these two characters, by the way.
They're like the most normal people in
they're
the
entire
movie.
They're so like blunt.
They're so like they're so normal. It's insane.
They're because... so like blunt and like sarcastic.
Yeah,
it's just yeah. Because everyone else is like so like always like dodging their questions, and they're just. Like,
I would
super...
argue that everyone else is like kind of disconnected.
Yeah,
and these are the two most like connected like people in the whole.
And
movie.
They're just like, this is fine, whatever.
Right. So they come into they knock on the mom's door, like the main mom's, and they. Talk to her and say, like, hey, like, you know, do you know anything about...
And they start looking at her, the quilts that she makes.
Yes.
Because it's essentially very heavily implied that the cloth in that scene that she tied them up with was the mom's.
Yeah.
So they're immediately looking around and, like, asking, like, where the hell do you get this?
Right, where and do you like, get all your material?
And then she kind of, like, dances around the question, and one of them's like, so basically, you just take people's stuff and just, like, use it without their permission? And she's just like, well, I guess. I guess
she's
you can
like,
say that.
She's like, I have a lot of clients and I need a lot of, like,
yeah.
I need a lot of material. So anything, like, cut off of that material, I keep and then use for,
yeah.
like, my... She's, like, being very, like,
very
dodgy
evasive.
About all of her answers because she doesn't want to, like, lead anything on.
Yeah. And then they keep so asking her, like, do you know anything about football?
Yeah, and she says, no, I don't know.
But as soon as like they
that.
Say that, like she kinda like gets more like
oh,
uncomfortable.
No, absolutely. I don't know anything about football.
She remembers.
She gets to like, you know, they start sweating her a little bit. And then they just leave because they're done questioning her.
Yeah.
And then she's all like freaked out. And then we go back to the party.
Oh
and
boy.
It's the older gentleman. Well, he's not a gentleman, the older man, and the main girl, Molly.
The producer, you mean?
Yeah, producer.
Yeah. This and speaking of uncomfortable scenes.
They're sitting on the bed and he's like trying to make out with her and
she like bites him.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, you like
no, he like says like you fucking bit me, you bitch, and like yeah. just smacks her. And she just like kinda laughs it off like, oh, that's it? Like yeah.
Like she told him she wants
yeah,
off.
I mean I'll comment on like I guess the psychology of this later.
Yep.
But like and he just like, you know, like whatever, they go back into it. And he kind of, like, walks right up to her and, like, you know, unzips his fly.
Yeah.
And just kind of starts, then, like, telling her, like, you know.
And she starts, like, she opens her mouth really wide.
And
starts
like, going to
like,
going bite
to
his
bite,
dick.
Bite his dick.
And he, like, starts freaking out and.
And, like, he holds her back and she's, like, just trying to chomp his,
well, she's, like there's eventually, like, she kind of, like, grabs his arm.
She grabs his hand, remember?
Yeah.
And like,
you hear, like, a snap.
Like, crunches his hand.
Yeah.
Like, she has, like, superhuman strength or something.
And then, like, he, like, finally, like, kicks her off the bed. And she just, like, laughs. And there's, like, this really creepy shot of her, like, getting up from the bed and, like, telling him how she's gonna, like, basically, like, rip him apart.
Yeah.
And he just freaks the fuck out and, like...
And, like, pushes her out of the room. And
so they're, like, starts fighting. But then, like, the crowd outside like kind of walks around and they see him pushing her down.
Well, he pushes her out of the bedroom into the party, and she falls on the ground.
And everyone like freaks out, like thinking,
like, "What are you doing? Why are you hitting her?
Yeah, like thinking that like he like you know abused her."
And she like then she starts playing the victim.
And then she wakes up like not knowing, just kind of like, "Well, what happened?"
Yeah,
and it's the shaving commercial guy is there.
Yes.
And she just sees him and is like, oh, I've seen you. I've seen you on TV.
Where have I seen you from?
And so then there's a scene of her, Long John, the other bartender, and then the radio, and then the TV commercial guy and the woman in the commercial.
Yep, and they're all talking at a bar, and they're all, like, just chatting and laughing, and she's like laying it on thick that she's interested in the
And
the
she's just, like, guy. She starts asking, like, she asks the woman, like, do you love him? And the woman just, like, laughs. Like, what are you talking about? And she's like, well, I've seen you on the commercial. Do you love him? Like, again, childlike. Because she sees him in the commercial.
When she's even,
with the woman, and she's assuming that, like... Because there's a thing... Like, her character also has a thing where, like, anything she sees on TV, she, like, takes it as, like, fact.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't get, like, the disconnect between, right. like, the fake world and the real world. So she's just asking, like, do you love him?
Well, because she even says at one point, I think, in this scene that she thinks she might love him.
No, she flat out says, I want him.
I want him.
And everyone just kind of laughs. But then the laughter turns into, like, awkward silence.
Yeah.
When they realize, like, that
she's serious.
She's not really playing along.
But I love it because they kind of treat her as she's not, like...
That she's not crazy?
She's not, like, crazy. But, like, she's clearly... Something is wrong.
Yeah.
You know, like, something is wrong.
But, yeah, something's wrong, but everyone else kind of plays it off, and the guy is... He's very, like, I guess, willing to take advantage of it.
Yes.
Because he just wants to get his dick wet.
Yes.
So he's like, whatever.
And he gives her his number.
Yeah.
And then she goes on the pier again and, like, goes into the tattoo shop.
She goes gets a tattoo.
Yeah, she gets a tattoo of a mermaid
on her stomach.
And she's asking the guy, like, why do they call you, like, something Dracula? And he's like, well, that's my name. Like,
yeah.
It's not a nickname, that's my name.
That's my name.
And she starts talking about how she had a nickname and, like, how people always called her that, but, like, you know, she didn't really like it or something like that.
Yeah.
And then, oh, God. And then we get, as she's getting the tattoo, we get another scene. Another flashback scene.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Just a quick one.
Oh, boy.
But it's, like, the little girl's feet. And, oh, my God. I hate even describing this scene. It is so goddamn uncomfortable. Because
you know.
And
because you know.
It's so bad. Like, oh, God, it makes me sick.
Because you just see, like...
You see her feet sticking up, and then you see... The dad's feet.
A bigger pair of feet.
On top of her,
like, thrusting.
Yes.
And that's it. Like, and you just hear, like, this distorted screaming.
Yep, and then he's moaning. And I'm just like, oh, God.
And you know.
I hate it.
And again, you know exactly what's happening.
I hate even revisiting that because it's so...
Uncomfortable.
Yeah. And I hate it. It's just awful.
It's great. It's fucking, again, it takes a lot to make a movie that actually, like, disturbs me.
Yeah.
Especially now, like, I consider myself pretty desensitized. So if a movie actually manages to fucking make me feel uncomfortable, like, props to that.
Yeah. So the next day, she's, like, in, is it Long John's bed again? And she's, like, she calls the actor.
Yeah, yeah. She's there, and she's talking to him, and, like... The guy's, like, talking, and he's like, did you say... She's talking to him on the phone, and he's just kind of, like, joking around. Like, he was drunk, so he doesn't really remember that he, like, slept with her.
Yeah.
But she's very, like, talking, like, oh, like, I love you, and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And he's like, did you say something to, like so-and-so, like, the other woman? And she's like, yeah, you know, I just told her that I really like you, and I mentioned to her that if, you know, that if she ever sees you again, I'll kill her. Ha ha ha, just kind of like casually.
Oh yeah, no, we should mention, sorry, I said Long John. She wakes up in bed with the actor.
Well, she calls him on the phone to tell him all this.
Oh, then no, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, because she calls him on the phone and she's telling him all this about how, like, she told the girlfriend, the other woman, that she'd kill her. And she's kind of like laughs it off, and he also laughs it off, like, oh, whatever.
And then before this next, another insane scene, we get another insane flashback where she's, like, watching the TV and there's a special report on the murder. So she goes into this, like, flashback.
Of her watching TV as a kid and watching, like, a clown.
She's, like, eating. And, like, she's eating on the bed and the dad's laying right next to her, like, half naked.
He's wearing, like, his fucking...
Like, just, like, underalls?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's, like, eating and watching
this clown on TV.
And, like, laughing. And the dad's, like, rolling around. And then she, like, keeps laughing and eating. And he gets, like... He wakes up and gets pissed off.
And, like...
And then he kicks the... He, like, yells at her and then kicks the TV over. But you can't really make out what he's yelling at her.
No, it's still distorted.
Like, distorted, like, really uneasy sounding, mm-hmm. like almost like a, like, metal grinding.
It's noise. More disturbing that you can't understand what he's saying.
Yes.
Like, the sound effects and everything make it more disturbing.
So he kicks the TV over and, like, you know, she, like, starts crying. And then...
This transition, because it transitions from, like, that sound of, like, him loudly kicking the TV over to gunshots.
Yep, and the woman's in the, like, the parking lot of the actor.
The woman who was in the shaving commercial with the guy is in the parking lot outside of his house shooting at his car.
Yes.
And there's, like, these two, like, guys just, like, watching it. And one of them's like, is she killing the car? And the other guy's like, yep.
And he, like, yeah, she, like, shoots both the tires out, and, like, the actor gets up and, like, yells at the window and, like...
And he's like, what the hell are you doing? And she's like, you betrayed me! Like, that fucking bitch said she'd kill me! And she starts to shoot at him, and he fights her, and she starts yelling about, like, how... Because earlier, he promised her that he would take her on a trip to China.
Yeah.
And she's like, you promised me you'd take me to China! And the, one of the guys is like, oh, she's not going to China, is she? And the one's like, yep! Nope.
And then, like, we see the two investigators, and they're, like,
That they arrested her, and they're interviewing this guy.
Yeah, and they're interviewing a guy, and then they... How'd they come across the piece of clothing? I think he had it.
Yeah.
So he had a piece of clothing that the mom made.
Yeah.
Her sister, mm-hmm. Molly's sister, and they look at it, and there's a medallion on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it says one of the initials to the one of the football stars.
One of the football stars.
That was killed.
But yeah, but first they're thinking, they're kind of suspecting it's the angry ex.
Yeah.
But even then, they're like kind of talking like the guy's like, she could have shot me. And one of the cops just makes an offhanded comment like, he's like, he's like, trust me, with her aim, I don't think you're in any danger.
Yeah.
Just, and he keeps talking and like the guy's very like cocky. Like, oh, you know, I slept with this other woman and she just got, you know, became the jilted ex.
Yeah.
So he's making it kind of very, like...
Right.
It's not a big deal. Which, it's you know, the theme follows.
Because he's like a playboy. He just sleeps with a lot of women.
And then we get a scene back at the bar.
Yeah, and they're talking about... what the hell are they talking about?
Well, they bring up, like... They start talking about all they start talking about the football player murders.
Right, yeah.
And they start saying all this stuff and, like... How the mom is worried because the cops interviewed her, and she's worried that they're going to know.
Yeah, because the mom comes to the bar.
And she starts, like, she doesn't say, like, flat out, but she starts, like, telling Molly, like, you understand, the cops are going to know.
You got to hide.
Like, they're going to find out. And
you got to run away.
And Long John's like, they're going to know what? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And, you know, she's just, like, saying nothing. She's just like, oh, it's... She's like, don't worry, Long John. They already found who killed him. I saw it on TV. Because there's, like, a TV report that says, like, the cops have a suspect. So she's right. Just like, oh, they already have
they
them.
They already found the suspect. It's fine.
They found the crazy person who killed them.
Yeah, and then, like, is this also the scene where they start giving her pills?
This is it, because, yeah. Because
the older woman starts giving her pills. Because
she keeps getting headaches.
Yeah. So the older woman starts giving her pills to control her
and
headaches.
And the headaches coincide with whenever she has flashbacks or whenever she goes, fucking crazy and murders people.
Right.
So the older woman who's also like hopped up on her pills herself starts giving her pills.
Yep.
And it's that crazy fucking scene where she's talking and like, I know who killed the football players. And one of them's like, oh yeah, who? He's like, fags.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are you talking about? Like, what are you talking about? He's like, but the TV report said that they were probably sleeping with a woman.
Yeah.
And she's like, don't you know? All football players are fags.
Yeah, it comes out of nowhere.
It's great. But again, because she's just... Everyone in the movie is crazy.
Yeah.
Like some sort of misfit. And this woman is just like... She just hopped up on pills the whole time.
Right.
And she just has all sorts of crazy opinions on everything. But then...
And then we get a scene of...
The commercial again.
Yeah, but this is like the hallucination
commercial. So she sees the shaving cream commercial again. And then the commercial ends... And she starts saying, and the guy in the commercial starts talking to her.
Yeah, like, Molly, do you want to give me a, you should shave me.
Give me a close, you want to give me a close shave? And he takes, like, the razor from the safety razor.
And, like, starts, like, taking it down his chin.
And down his chest.
And then he, like, starts, like, he cuts along his neck.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, like, drags it across, like, down his chest. And, like, all the way down to his penis.
And that ends. And then she's, Molly is in Long John's, like, apartment.
Yes.
And he starts kind of questioning her, like, you said something before really strange. And then he says, like, when did you lose your virginity?
And she, like, freaks out.
And she's just like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't think I was ever a virgin. And he's like, what the hell does that mean? Like, when was it? Like, what happened?
Yeah, like, how could you not know?
Like, how do you not know? And, like, gets really, like, worried. And she just kind of, like, just kind of plays it off, like, and she's like, oh, you know, it's just a figure of speech.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything.
Right.
And he's just like, okay, it's whatever. Like,
whatever. And then the next scene is Molly waking up next to the actor.
Yeah, because she also, during that previous scene, says, like, Long John, I think you're just upset because I'm sleeping with...
Yeah, the whatever the actor's name is. Billy Bat, I think.
I think it was, like, McFeely.
McFeely. It's something ridiculous.
Some crazy-ass name.
Yeah.
And, you know, but Long John he's more worried that, like, there's something seriously, like, wrong with
There's
her,
something she, up. There's
and
something,
she keeps getting headaches.
Like, he's finally snapped out of this weird, like, sense of, like, you know, everything's fine.
Yeah, and she keeps having these headaches.
Right.
But, yeah, the next scene is she wakes up after having sex with the actor. He's in the bathroom.
Yes.
And starts shaving.
And then she comes... Can you guess what's going to happen next? She comes over and starts shaving him.
And it's all going fine.
It's going fine. And then she grabs the razor blade.
It goes all into slow-mo.
And, like cuts across his neck. And just like in the commercial. And, like, down his chest. And, like, starts, like...
slicing his dick off.
Like, castrating him.
Yeah. And then, like, after she castrates him, she's just covered in blood. And starts, like... scratching at, like, the tattoo on her stomach.
Yeah, and, like, she... And then she, like, rubs the blood all over her body.
Yeah.
And then it's the next day, and she's, like, sleeping in Long John's bed.
And he wakes up and freaks out.
There's, like, blood all over his bed.
And she's just like, oh, I'm sorry, like... And he's like, what the hell happened? What did you do?
Like, what happened? Why are you covered in blood?
And she gives him a bullshit explanation that she got this tattoo... And she was unhappy.
She gives him a couple excuses. One, she says it was, like, a bad period.
Yeah.
And she gets, like, really upset and, like, really mad at him. And then she, like, calms down and then says that she tried to cut off her tattoo.
Yeah.
And it didn't work.
Yeah.
And she gets, like, upset again because, like, he's not, like, taking her seriously. And he's not, like, understanding her feelings, basically. And, oh, God. Yep.
We get the cops talking to the mom again. Yes. And this scene is fucking great. Because by this point, you know that they've already told her that they're, like, suspecting Molly. And she's just, like, freaking out because it's going to hurt her business.
Right.
That she's related to, like, a fucking psychopath murderer.
She, like, didn't care as much as that it was her sister.
She's like, you understand. This is my whole life. Like, what am I going to do? No one's going to come to me. I'm not going to have any money to take the kids to the movies. And then after she stops ranting, one of the cops is like, ma'am, if it's, like, a problem, I'll give you $5 to take the kids to the movies.
Yeah, I don't care.
And she's just like, what the hell is wrong with you? Do you know about inflation? Like, you know how many, like, $5 goes nowhere. And but the best thing about the scene is the cops are just sitting there, like, just kind of, like, they're just, like, stone-faced.
Yeah.
Just, like, being straight and narrow while she's just, like, freaking out about this.
Yeah, they don't care. And then, this is where the two kids come in after the cops leave. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about how they miss Molly and, like, how they want her back.
And the mom is just, like, Molly's sick.
Molly's sick, and they're like, we miss Molly.
And she's not sick. We know about how you lied to her. We know Grandpa died at sea, and, like...
Yeah, we miss Molly. We don't want you.
And she slaps them.
Yeah.
And it's just...
And she's like, oh. She, like, tries to apologize, but,
it's
like...
It's so good.
And that's kind of the last we see of the sister.
It's so good.
And then we're back at Long John's house, and Molly is, like, just sitting there, disconnected.
Hopped up on pills,
and, like, she's watching TV, and you see the clown again.
Yeah.
And she says, like, I don't... She's just, like, mind-flowing, just, like, I don't know... Like, didn't she say something like, I don't know why I killed them.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, they were so beautiful. Why did I hurt them?
Yeah. He's like, who are you talking about?
Langella's like, what are you talking about?
Who did you kill? Like, what's
going
on?
She's like, those two football players didn't deserve that.
They were so beautiful.
They were so beautiful.
Why I don't know I why, yeah.
So she basically confesses that she killed both the...
Yeah.
Like in this, the weird thing. And then, oh God. Oh God. I have been dreading explaining this scene. Ah, the ultimate.
Well, this is it.
The ultimate uncomfortable, because we're about at the end of the movie.
This is the big one.
And this is the ultimate uncomfortable flashback scene. Is so horrible.
That previous one with the legs on top of each other, you see the whole thing. And you see that he's raping her as she's young. And, like, and then he, like, essentially gets a heart attack or something.
And, like dies on top of her.
And dies on top of her.
Oh, it's ultimate. So bad. Oh God,
it's the ultimate horror.
I feel like dirty.
No, it's
so, visceral.
And again, the sound effects, everything is just, it's fucking top notch.
It's all distorted and
like it's when she starts screaming, it's not like a normal scream. It's just like a super distorted. Like also, we keep getting these like insane like visions of like the bodies cut up. Remember?
Yeah.
It's like,
oh, her on a boat and all the bodies are cut up.
They're like cut in half. It's like fish that are gutted.
And it's like this weird like pink and turquoise like filter they used.
And it's like her weird. Like face like screaming at it.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy. And we get another scene with cops talking to the producer. And this scene's hilarious because every time the producer says something, there's like a woman next to him in the hot tub, completely naked. That and she like kind of like discredits
pretty much everything he says.
And he's like, "Well, I just wanted to, sleep with her and just, you know,
yeah,
and
she attacked me.
Nothing wrong." And the woman's like, "Yeah, that means he probably tried to like be too rough with her or something." And he just like keeps talking, and then she like backtracks whatever he says to like shit all over him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, "Why is something going on?" And one of the cops says like, "Well, see, if you tried watching TV and you tried looking at the real world, you might see something."
Yeah. And then he's like, "So that's just..."
Does something happen to McFeely? And he's like, "Yeah, it's over."
Or he says something like, "Let's just say he's played his last act or something."
He's played his, he's like played his last tune.
Yeah.
And then we get this scene of like the, I don't remember which house they're driving to, but it's the old bartender and Molly. And as they're driving, she's just like giving her more and more pills.
Yeah.
And just telling her, "Don't worry about it. Everything's fine. It's nothing, like, it's no big deal. You just, you know, you just had a bad moment."
Yep.
No big deal.
Like, you know, everyone goes a little crazy sometimes. Yeah. It's fine. So they drive to Long John's house.
Yeah.
And they get in and, like, they sit her on the couch and then just, like one by one.
And she's just increasingly, like, kind of just, like, talking, like, insanity.
Yeah.
About the dad and everything. And then, like, she just looks at those pills and, like, Long John just kind of, like, he knows what's going to happen.
Like, "You want more pills, Molly?" And she's like, "Yes, I just have a horrible headache."
Because he knows that it's over.
So one by one, the old woman and Long John start feeding her pills.
And she just keeps taking them, and the kids show up.
Oh, God. And then she, like, faints. She almost faints and, like slides down the bed and, like, the two kids sit by her.
And she's like, "I love you so much. Just always remember, like, you know, like, Grandpa was a good man and all this stuff."
And, like, the old woman is like, "We can't have the kids be here for this." Like, they can't
do this. Yeah.
And, like, Long John just doesn't know what to do anymore.
Yeah.
And so the kids, the fucking kids start feeding her the pills.
Too, yeah.
And they just all assist suicide Molly.
Yeah.
Because she just passes out. Presumably dead.
Yeah, because the kids eventually leave, and we get the shot of the cops knocking on the door, and we see Long John go to greet them, and then we see Molly, like, kind of pass out, and, like, it goes, like, a POV shot of, like...
And it's, like, this...
The camera going distorted, and, like, that she's dying.
And then it goes, like, to this big open ocean, and you just see a little raft with a giant sail on it.
And it's just Molly.
And it's just floating down the ocean.
Floating down the ocean, away.
And
credits.
End credits. Holy shit.
I love this movie.
It's a great movie.
There's a lot to unpack here.
There's so much to unpack here. Like, again, I've been thinking about it since Thursday. Yeah. So it's like, there's a lot to think about. There's a lot of stuff you could take away from this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, like...
Just like, I don't know. It's such a great... like, just picture of abuse and like how damaging abuse is.
It's totally not
just
damaging.
And not just to like the one person,
to like everyone,
everyone around it.
Yeah.
And how like everyone tries to like discredit it, and how like, I mean, come on, the scenes of like everyone just like, she's clearly unhinged.
Well, like everyone thinking she's normal when clearly something,
yeah,
she needs help. Like someone needs to listen, yeah, to her.
Like it's a cry for help, and everyone's solution is either it's fine or give her more pills.
Or drink more.
Or drink more.
Yeah.
And it's all like that's all like real shit. It's all real shit. But it's in a cheap 70s B movie.
Well, it's also kind of like us, like almost like how some of like people that have been abused like will blame themselves.
It's not just like the blaming themselves, but also like one of my favorite things about it is like the people who are abused will often like they'll still show like affection for the person, yeah, who abused them.
Exactly.
They won't like
how much she admired her, yeah, dad and all that.
And also how like it does turn people like violent. I mean,
yeah,
like she is violent.
Well, also like
and like aggressive, and also how like she didn't grow up, because right, during the whole movie she talks like a kid.
Like the abuse stunted her growth.
Yeah, like anytime she doesn't get her way, she starts pouting like a child.
Yeah,
and it's all done really well.
Well, it's also like her views on men, how she sexualizes men.
Yeah, well, it's like everything with her is sexualized.
Yes,
like she's not, the relationships she's having aren't emotional. It's just like sex.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's wants. Just empty.
And, you know, she basically becomes a siren.
Yeah.
You know, like.
And also, like, the greatest part is, like, how, she'll criticize it in one scene. Like, there's one scene where she talks about, like, women who, like, sleep with men and stuff. But then, like, the next scene, that's just what she does.
Well, it's because she's totally unhinged. She doesn't, yeah, know what's going on. And, like, you know, how she discredits tattoos and then gets a tattoo.
And gets a tattoo.
On her stomach.
And it's the same tattoo,
We should mention, yeah, when the dad dies, he has the same tattoo on his stomach.
Yeah. And also, those, because, we've all seen movies about, like, you know, abuse or whatever. But, man, those flashbacks are some of the most unsettling.
I had such a hard time watching those.
It's so unsettling and so well done, and like I have so much like respect.
It's disturbing.
Yeah.
But like that's how it's meant to be.
Well, it's disturbing, but it doesn't feel cheap.
No.
If that makes sense.
It doesn't feel like they're trying to get a reaction out of you.
It's not exploitive.
Yeah.
Like it's actually well done.
Like you could argue this is sexploitation.
Oh, I know.
But like I don't think it is.
I'm sorry, it's...
A lot of reviewers have said it's sexploitation.
Well, this was very controversial.
Well, I wonder why.
I mean, we saw this movie got banned in the UK for, like, 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, this is a controversial movie because, I mean, first of all, like, I don't know. Can you imagine, like, advertising this thing?
You couldn't.
Because you have the title. Like, when I first heard about this movie, like, the title, I assume, like, it makes you think supernatural.
Well, and the poster, too.
And the poster. But then you watch it, and it's like, no, it's like, it's real world, like, horror.
Yeah.
Like, real shit. And it's done really well. I don't know.
The acting is good. I think the cinematography is really good.
Oh, the cinematography is great.
I think, like, the cameraman, whoever he was, like...
The settings?
Oh, man. It's really good.
Like, the... Oh, man. The fucking weird use of, like, distorted sound effects?
Yeah.
Like... I don't know. Again.
Well, like, I it's kind of one of those movies that is purposefully trying to make you feel uncomfortable.
The whole thing, yeah.
And it doesn't ever stop making you feel uncomfortable.
And everything about it, like, the way she talks, the constant, like, almost, like, disconnected way of talking and, like...
This movie is very effective, and the more you think about it, the more, like...
I think about, like, if you want to talk about, like, damage, like, how, you know, she's talking to the kids and she's essentially brainwashing the kids now.
Thinking that their grandpa is this like, great he's guy. Saint. He's like this really good guy. And the sister, who also seems kind of like odd.
But she's just like she's too mentally weak to like kind of stand up to it.
Exactly. Because she knows what happened.
She knows.
But like she won't admit it to the kids because she, you know, like obviously you don't want to bring that up.
She's probably trying to shelter them, but she doesn't understand that like. What Molly's been doing is, like, permanently, like, destroying, like, the kids' relationship with their own mom.
Right.
again, there's a lot.
Well, and they're also basically, like, at the end, like, saying, like, you know, with the assisted suicide, I think maybe they're trying to say something like, you know, like, the way she is isn't exactly all her fault.
No, it's not.
Like, because the abuse fucked her up so much that the only way she could get out of that, because, you know, she wouldn't understand going to
jail. That's the thing. You know she wouldn't.
She wouldn't understand going to jail or why she was going to jail.
Yeah.
Or, like what to do while she was in jail. And I think at the end, like, Long John and the, like, older lady, like, kind of, like, snapped back into reality.
They realized that, this is the only thing.
This is the only way to save Molly.
Yeah.
The only way she can be saved is if she dies.
Well, because that's another thing. The movie never... It does a pretty good job of, like, making you understand that, like, she's not just a monster. Like, it's not entirely her fault.
Well, there's, like, a reason she's doing all this.
Yeah.
And there's a reason she, like, hates men.
That she's the way she is.
Yeah.
And it's all done very well. And also, like, the craziest thing about this movie is that, like, there's moments of humor in this that genuinely work well.
Like the two detectives.
But they don't feel cheap. Like,
well, they don't lessen the experience.
Like, they don't take away... Like, you'll have a scene that's just really disturbing.
Yeah.
And then the next scene is funny.
Yeah.
And then back to disturbing.
Well, because, I mean, it really works well with, like, the kind of, like, breaking away for a little bit of comedy. So you don't just have this, like, just barrage of, like, this, like...
Darkness,
yeah.
Yeah.
As comedic relief. Sorry, that was the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, it has comedic relief, but, like, it's effective comedic relief, and it doesn't happen so often that you're like, okay, just get on with the story.
Yeah.
Like, it's effective, but it's also...
And the comedic relief is also...
It just feels like it's in the right place.
And it's still doing the story in addition to the comedic relief.
Well, and they never once make fun of her abuse anything like that. They're very careful about, like, that, because they never want
the piss, like, they're not taking the piss out of, like, you know, the serious, like, disturbing stuff. It's always just kind of like the shitty producer character.
Right.
It's like, you know, it's just some fucking goon who tried to sleep with a woman.
Yeah.
And, like, they're taking the piss out of him. So it's not like they're not making fun of the abuse or anything that's actually, like, a serious thing.
Right.
No, the whole thing is.
It's great.
I have a massive amount of respect for this movie.
Oh yeah,
just
so
pride.
Can you tell what our review or what our shitty to pretty reader is gonna like?
Yeah, this is the easiest 10 out of 10.
Ten.
I would ever give.
I give it more. I hate that. Well, we've got three winners.
We do.
I would argue these three films don't deserve to be on our podcast.
No. The funny thing is...
I'm glad they are, but they don't deserve to be.
Yeah.
Because they're actually really good 70s horror movies.
This is... I can say this. This is one of my favorite 70s horror movies.
It's one of my favorites, fucking... too. Yeah.
Because, I mean, why do you... What do you watch horror for?
This.
To be freaked out.
Or and to guess be, what? Be uncomfortable.
Guess what?
This does is all fucking of it.
Freaky.
Yeah.
And it's... It's, like, it's not supernatural. It's real-world horror. Things.
Like, this could actually happen, and does happen, unfortunately. Yeah,
it happens like, all the time.
I hate, like, it does happen. Like, it's awful.
But it's done, but also, like, it is done in, like, I don't know, it's done in a way that makes it unique.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you could make a movie like this and just play it, like, completely, like, straight. Whereas this doesn't, and it just makes it more unique.
I think it's more effective, too.
Yeah.
But... Yeah.
I love this movie.
Me too. I think it's really good, and you definitely should go watch it.
Everyone.
I will warn you, it is very disturbing.
As you've probably noticed.
It is very disturbing. It is uncomfortable as hell to watch.
Yeah, this is like the kind of movie where, I don't know, you, I'm not going to say that you'll have an enjoyable experience watching it.
I didn't enjoy my time watching it, but, like, it is effective. It is so effective.
Yeah, when I first watched it, like, I don't know. I can't say I enjoyed it necessarily, but once it's done, I felt like you knew. Like, once it's finished, you're like, you know you watched something great.
Yeah.
And you watched something that is, like, respectable. And that's how I felt. I had, like, a massive respect for this thing.
Me too. But yeah, so that was The Witch Who Came from the Sea.
Good shit, boy.
Yeah. Great shit.
Great shit.
Quick update. You know, not that we're gonna, not that it's anytime soon, I guess, but we are doing a live stream.
Absolutely unexpected, Will.
Really? We didn't say that we'd do one every month.
And if you want to hear the story about how we are the biggest idiots on the world in regards to audio, please tune into the live stream.
Please tune into the live stream. It's a really funny story. Come watch us. Come hang out with us. Watch us play shitty games. Chat with us on YouTube or, you know.
But most importantly, tune in to hear the story.
But we're going to do it at the end of the month. That's the last Sunday. It's the 31st.
The 31st.
The 31st of March is when we're doing our next live stream. I will post it on Facebook. We're going to be all on there.
Spam the shit out of it.
For once, because I always forget.
That's fine. It's fine.
So, just remember to go to our YouTube page, subscribe, hit that bell so you get notified right when we go live, and then you can chat with us all day. Please, come hang out with us, hear the story, and if you don't have time to watch all of it, you know, maybe just watch some of it and then go to work or whatever you have to do.
Go jack off, whatever you have to do.
Whatever you have to do, it'll be posted on our YouTube. You can watch it. You can jump around. You can watch us play shitty games all day. Just we love hanging out with you guys. We love talking to you guys. So please, join us on the last of the month.
Yeah.
But for now, I think we're going to call it there.
Yeah.
And,
go watch this movie.
Amazon Prime.
Be good
to
yourselves.
The Witch Who Came from the Sea.
Yeah.
Be good to yourself, not only to yourselves, but other people.
Be good to yourselves.
This movie, don't do this shit.
Yeah, no.
Don't do this shit. Okay?
Don't.
You fucking monsters.
Also, if anybody knows any other movies like this, I want
to
know.
Please. Please suggest them. Please. Because I would love to watch more like this. Real horror.
Real horror.
Yes.
What a fucking concept.
Not supernatural, real horror.
Yeah. Real good shit.
Yep.
Which we will ruin with our next movie, but we'll get there.
Yes. But anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate it. Yep.
For our two episodes.
Thank you for letting... we'll explain why the audio is so bad. It's so embarrassing.
It's the dumbest shit ever.
It is so embarrassing. I hang my head. Thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate it. As always, for They Mostly Come Out at Night, this has been Will.
And this has been Alex.
And we will talk to you all later.
Bye.
Yeah. We're not audio experts.
Be like that.